What great worship we've just had. I trust that you were able to participate and really connect and engage with God, because when we engage with God, our lives are completely transformed and changed. So it's brilliant to be able to do that. I don't know about you, but I've really been challenged by the theme that we've run over the course of the last few weeks. We've been talking about crazy faith in crazy times, and we were planning to run this theme for a few more weeks, but I just feel a sense of God stirring in my heart that we need to change our focus and we need to begin to focus on something different. So as of next week, I'm going to be introducing a new theme. I'm excited about it, and I'm really looking forward to exploring this new subject. And the new subject, just to give you a little bit of a taster, I'm giving you a starter this morning, is simply this: from lockdown to looking up. Okay, I'm going to repeat it: from lockdown to looking up. And we're going to begin to just change our focus a little bit, and we're going to focus on the promises and the adventure that God would want us to adventure with him from on that subject matter. So get excited about that, begin to pray into it. And what I would encourage you to do is to prepare your hearts to receive something from that new sermon. So that sermon series. So that's next week, okay? But it's my opportunity now to conclude this running series, current series, Crazy Faith in Crazy Times. And we've looked at a number of characters. And this morning, I'd like to look at the individual, the character of Moses. We all know Pastor Moses. He pastored possibly the largest church. It was called the First Church of Assemblies of God, Israel. And he had this multi-million following. He had this crowd that followed him. It was called the Children of Israel. He journeyed them from being in a place of slavery into that place of God's promises, into the promised land. And what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, the major chapter when it comes to faith. I'm going to ask you to read with me from verse 23 of this chapter, and it reads like this: "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to this reward." And it goes on a little bit more, and it talks about how by faith he led the children of Israel out of that place of slavery, how he led them into the promises that God has for them, how he led them through the water. And we see that wonderful story, which is exciting and it's really challenging. But what I want to share this morning is simply this: that Moses made some great choices. He made some great decisions. And that's what we're going to focus on, because I believe that crazy faith in crazy times requires you and I to make some great choices, to make some great decisions. As we retrace the story of Moses, we see that he lived to the ripe old age of 120 years old. We see that his life was divided into three kind of sections. We see that for 40 years, he lived within the context of the palace. He knew what it was to enjoy the finery of living within the palace. We then see for another 40 years, he lived within the wilderness. What a contrast that was, moving from the palace to the wilderness. And then for another 40 years after of living in the wilderness, we see that he then became this great leader, this leader, Pastor Moses, who led this church, this nation of people. And we see that he led them, and he led them really well. Didn't always get it right, but he led them well. And what we see that the choices that Moses made, it shaped his life. It was once said that in the end, we are our choices. And one great scholar was recorded this and said this: our lives are the sum total of the choices that we have made. And that same communicator, that same exhorter of truth, he said this: we are not defined by what happens to us, but we are defined by our choices and our decisions. So Moses, everything about him was defined by his choice and defined by his decisions. And that's recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. There are a number of things that we're going to learn from. But firstly, we just need to retrace the steps of his life. We see that Moses was hidden in a basket. He was then placed on the River Nile. We then see how he was adopted into Pharaoh's family by Pharaoh's daughter. We then see that he grew up in that wonderful setting. We then see that one day he goes out and he observes two guys having a fight, and he begins to get mixed up in that fight. And the outcome of the fight is that he happens to kill somebody. And then he kind of hides that, and then he goes back. And then a few days later, he comes out and he sees another two guys fighting, and he tries to stop it. And there's this kind of debate that takes place. And the guy says to him, are you going to kill me like you killed the previous person? And we see this kind of chaotic mess that Moses finds himself in. And then we see that he leaves the palace and he begins to tend sheep in the wilderness. And then he has this amazing encounter. And the encounter is a burning bush encounter. The bush burns and the voice from the bush begins to direct Moses and instructs him and says, this is your destiny, this is your purpose. And we see that from that moment on, that life-changing moment, Moses' life changes for the better. And we see that everything is kind of turned upside down. And I've discovered this, that when God begins to speak to you and God begins to give you a sense of purpose and destiny, life gets mixed up a little bit and things begin to change. But what really excited me, challenged me in Hebrews when I began to read the story of Moses. Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. He chose to face disgrace for the sake of Christ because he considered the disgrace in the eyes of man to serve God far greater than the value and the treasures that Egypt could give to him. You see, every choice that Moses made reflected his values and his belief system. And what I've discovered in the life of Moses is simply this, that Moses chose a pathway of inconvenience above convenience. He chose a pathway which was going to be filled with resistance, hardship, disgrace and mistreatment. But he chose that because he realized this, that that's the path that God wanted him to take. And oftentimes, if you're like me, you and I would choose the path of least resistance. We try to discover, to work out the easiest of paths. We try to find the most popular of paths. But we need to understand this, that oftentimes when God calls us to follow him, it's not always easy. That there are seasons and times of hardship where we feel that everything is going against us. Yet that is the path that God chooses us and requires us to walk. You see, the path that God wants you and I to walk is not the path which is the easiest. It's not the path of least resistance. You see, it's not the path of comfort and safety, it's the path of destiny and cause. And God would want you and I to follow that pathway because that's the life that God would want us to have. Not necessarily easy. Mixed with trials, mixed with testings, mixed with all sorts of things. But we need to choose that type of path because we see that those seasons of difficulty are the times when it reveals our value. It reveals our conviction. And then all of a sudden we realize that God wants us to live lives of significance and God wants us to walk within his will and his ways and not necessarily our will and our way. Moses chose. Can I help us this morning to work through how can we make good choices? If we are the sum of our decision and our choice, if life is outworked through our decision and our choice, we need to have a sense of discernment, we need to make wise choices. And the very first thing I want to encourage you with this morning is this, that we need to birth our choices in prayer. Don't just make an unprayerful kind of choice or decision, but bathe it in prayer. Allow it to be birthed in prayer. Ask God, God, will you help me make the right choices? You see, I am convinced that this book, the Bible, is alive and active. I am convinced it's as relevant today as it was the day it was first compiled and pulled together and put together. And what I see in the psalm, we see in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. Can I also include ladies in that? The steps of every good man and every good woman have been ordered by the Lord. And if we believe that, if we live in accordance to that, we need to birth our choices in prayer. We need to have God connected into our lives. He's the source of our lives. And we need to have God involved in how we make decisions. That's the very first thing. You see, we need God on our side. So birth every choice in prayer. The second little bit of wisdom I'd like to give you this morning is this, that to make good choices, we need to seek godly advice. Get some advisors to speak into your life. Get some men and women who have journeyed the journey. They've got a proven track record, and allow them to sow something of their experience into your life. You see, to help you and to help me make good decisions, we need other people's perspective. Because sometimes we cannot see the wood for the trees. And we can't see through stuff. And we get bogged down by all sorts of peripheral kind of things. And we need men and women to speak into our lives. But can I put a little bit of a warning out here? That we need to be careful who we allow to speak into our lives. Everybody has an opinion, but not everybody's opinion counts or matters. So we need to be careful when it comes to that. The Bible says, seek godly advisors, put them around you, surround yourself with that. Can I also say that we get godly advice from this great book, the Bible? Because the Bible tells me this, that the Word of God, is a lamp and a light. A lamp to my path and a light to my feet. We see how the Word of God instructs us. And what we need to do is we need to align our decision and our choices with what the Bible has said and is saying. Don't make a decision that contradicts what has been written. The Word of God helps you make godly, wise decisions. And Moses knew what it was to choose the right things. And we also need to know how to choose the right thing. So I've said that we need to birth our choices in prayer. We need to seek godly advice. Number two, that the third thing about how you and I can make wise and the correct choices and decisions is simply this. We need to be open to God, the Holy Spirit. We're open to our Heavenly Father speaking into our lives. We're open for the Word of God to speak into our lives. But we also need to know the direction that the Spirit of God would also, the Holy Spirit would bring into our lives. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says this, that the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. Okay, not part truth, but all truth. So our hearts need to be receptive. Our minds need to be open to the Spirit of God speaking directive and directions into our lives. I love it as I read the life of Jesus and I read through the patterns of his ways. And I see this, that the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. It says that he was led by the Holy Spirit. And we also see that he operated and flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit. If having guidance
through the Holy Spirit was important for Jesus, it's also very important for you and for me that we're not just full of the Holy Spirit and we don't just operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we're led by the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit of God saying to you today when it comes to making good decisions? I have another little thought here, and it helps me when it helps me make the right decisions. I've called it the peace rule, okay? The peace rule. And what that is, it's an inner sense of peace. It's having a sense of comfort, having a sense of God's peace within my heart, because when we make decisions, when it's the right decision, we can know the peace of God. But when we make the wrong decision, we can sense sometimes an unsettling, a stirring, which says, hang on a minute, what you've just done is the wrong decision. And if you're at that point, do what I do. But when I've made the wrong decision and I've lost the peace, I've lost the joy, what I do is I begin to retrace my steps. I begin to work out at what point of my journey did I lose that peace. And I begin to retrace my steps and I go back and I think, that's where it was. It was when I made this decision. I made this choice. It was completely unbiblical. It was wrong. I didn't listen to the advice that I was given. I wasn't in step with the Holy Spirit. And because of all of that, I've lost a sense of peace. And all we have to do then is rectify that decision. Correct it. Get yourself on the right path. Because the Bible says this, that when we make the right decisions, or when we have God working in us and through us, that we have peace within our hearts and a freedom in our soul. Paul wrote to a church in Philippi and began to talk and outline what true peace was, and was instructing them about making good decisions, godly decisions and choices. And he said this, "You'll understand a peace that surpasses all understanding." And when we make the right decisions, we can know that all-surpassing peace, that our understanding, our human thinking can't work out, can't reason, but we just know. We see that when Paul wrote to that church in Philippi, he was saying, I want you to do this because it will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. Can I instruct us today? Don't lose your peace because you've made the wrong decisions. And finally, the fifth little point here this morning, it is very simple. It's not rocket science.
I trust I'm explaining myself well this morning. But when it comes to making the right decision and the right choice, take your time. Take your time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to verse 8 says that there are seasons and times for every activity. And there have been moments in my personal walk when I've been impetuous when it comes to making a decision. I've jumped in with both feet, and if I could get both my size 8 feet into my mouth, I've done it on more than one occasion. I've made error, I've made mistake because I've been impetuous when it's been making decisions and choices. I've not given it any consideration. I've not gleaned the facts. I've not sought from the Word. I've not prayed about it. I've not sought godly advice, and I've been impetuous, and it's been a massive mistake. But you see, the flip side to being impetuous is being at a place of indecision. Some might say to procrastinate. And sometimes what happens is when we allow time to elapse, we take too much time and we don't make a decision. Can I encourage you today, like Moses, make the right decisions after you've given it some time, but don't allow too much time to elapse, otherwise you will be at a place of indecision and procrastination, where God doesn't want you to live there. He wants you to live in the place of making the right decision. You see, if we are truly the sum total of the choices we've made, we need to be careful how we make our choices.
And crazy faith in crazy time requires men and women, boys and girls. It requires a body of people called the church to make the right decision. Because the right decision results in the right outcome. And the right outcome brings transformation to one's life and to one's community. So guys, I trust that has been a help to you. I trust that it's been insightful. I trust it's been that something has been imparted into your hearts, into your lives today. So I'm going to leave it there. But before I leave it there, I'm going to pray with you and pray for you. This morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity this morning to respond, to give your life to Jesus. That is the greatest choice, the greatest decision that you and I would ever make. We will make multiple decisions over the course of time and over the course of our lives. But the greatest decision is when we say, I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to accept his forgiveness for the things I've done wrong. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and simply to bow your heads in the seclusion and the privacy of your home. And I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life on the cross for me. And your action on the cross has eliminated my sin and my wrongdoing. And this morning I ask you to forgive me of the things I have done wrong. And this morning I invite you into my life. And this morning I ask you to help me, to guide me, to strengthen me. Because this morning I've made the choice to be a follower of Christ. Amen. This morning, if you prayed that prayer, whether it was for the first time or even a prayer of recommitment, I would encourage you to contact me. You can contact me via the Facebook page of Riviera Life Church, or you can even look for Ian Derek Williams on Facebook and begin to become a friend of mine, and we can journey, we can have a conversation together, and we can introduce you to this relationship with Jesus Christ that will change your life forever. Please do that if you would. This morning, I want to also pray for those of us in the life of our church and even in the life of our community who may be tuning in for the very first time today, who have to make major decisions over the course of the next few days. Maybe it's a decision, a choice around health. Maybe it's a decision, a choice around a relocation or employment. Maybe there are some choices that we need to make that won't be popular, that could create inconvenience and cause distress. I'm going to pray for you this morning. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to stand right where you are. And once again, just bow your heads and place yourself in submission to what God wants to do in you and through you. Would you do that? Father, I thank you for the openness of those responding this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them. I pray, God, that you would encourage their hearts. I pray that you would give them courage and boldness to make the right decision. Even if it's not going to create popularity, Lord, I pray, God, you'll give them courage. I pray, Lord, that they would live according to their conviction. And Lord, that you would direct their steps as you've promised to do. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Once again, if you'd like me to pray for you during the course of this week, why don't you contact us again through Facebook or through the social media of our local church. You can do that, and we are privileged to pray with you this week. So, guys, have a great week. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Look forward to catching up with you very, very soon. We serve a great God, and we have a great life. Be blessed.